Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Sound Health Options Show with Sherry Edwards and Richard Olson, brought to you this week by GuardiansOfThePeople.com. This is the show for June 4th, 2011. And Sherry is taking a break today, so she's out riding around the countryside, I believe actually on a motorcycle, in the part of the country where it's actually in the 90s instead of curious winter here. Characteristics here in California. It's very odd. And today's guest is Susan Stewart. Susan is a professional intuitive counselor, has over 26 years of experience in her field. Susan's Intuitive Development Institute was established in 1981 to promote a more expanded awareness of intuition, metaphysics, and astrology. The Institute offers intuitive scanning, intuitive counseling for individuals as well as couples, and intuitive development classes and medical intuitive trainings. It's a lot of intuition. And Dr. Stewart's site is drsusanstewart.com. Welcome, Susan. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to say just a few things before we started. This is my mother's 88th birthday, and it was always on June 5th, so I'm wondering, can it just be June 5th today instead of 4th?
Oh, sorry, that's right. Yes, it could be. Absolutely correct. Thank you very much.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Wow.
She's seeing her a little bit
later.
Yeah,
wow.
June 5th. All right. And if you add up 1981 and 26 years, it doesn't really add up to now. It's been over 30 that I've been doing this intuitive.
Isn't that shocking? I guess I should disclose to the viewers, to the listening audience, that I've known Susan for the most of those 30 years.
Oh, I
think
been
saying 20
that,
years. Well,
no,
please,
no,
but we're
no.
so young. We started very
we
young
are.
In the field. So.
Just kids. Right.
And backstage we were talking about the fact that right before the show started, and that's what I, you know, love about the work that you do and I think is really fun, is you pulled a card right before the show. So if you'd like to talk about that, that would be fabulous.
Well, I did. I knew you and I had discussed that perhaps we would talk about relationships just because, oh, that's just so much fun. And I pulled the card that represented spiritual strife, and I thought, oh, well, when we are drawn into wonderful, expansive, karmic relationships, they do have an element of spiritual strife. You know, that's part of the indication that we're in the right place, or we're in a we have more longevity in those kinds of relationships than those that are just fluff and fun. So let's just jump right in here to that spiritual strifing relationship
exactly.
element.
And is that really, I really need to, I wished I had Tina Turner's What's Love Got to Do with It. That's really why I thought this would be a fun theme with you, because you have such an eclectic ability to look at it from lots and lots of different views from your, you know, many, many years of research and study and everything that you've looked at, that really, is it, I guess we'll just jump right into that. Is it just karma? Is it, you know, it seems like it's shaken, not stirred.
I want to start with a comment about for many years I gave a workshop sort of over and over and over again. It was called a soulmate workshop. People signed up and came looking for their spiritual soulmate, or I'd lecture about it, you know, all over universities, to spiritual groups, to just kind of plain business groups. And the question I would ask is, who in the room thinks that we have have a spiritual soulmate that is designed for us individually. And almost everyone in the room would raise their hand, including me, because we have that basic desire, knowing, and perhaps even intuition that this is the case, that there is someone there for us, right? Don't you have that? Richard?
If I say in your heart of hearts,
would you have raised your hand?
Yes, I would.
Of course.
I would have raised my hand halfway.
In our heart of hearts, we have that. Oh my goodness, there is a special person for us, and I don't want to, to blow that image, because I would raise my hand too, because I feel it's part of the. Similar to the question of, do we believe in something outside ourselves? Do we believe in an afterlife or something that's beyond? And I always think when something occurs right at the time, this wonderful bells ringing and phones dinging at this time, it's an indication within the universe that what we've just said is accurate in some way. So just as I say, do we believe this, we have these beautiful dingling phones in the background, clients calling in saying, please tell me, is this person my soulmate? Is this person the person I'm going to be, spending the rest of my life with? Those are the questions we all have.
I guess I'm still asking. I'm still asking that question, and that's probably why I thought this would be a fun theme, because... I have no. It's funny as you talk about those things. I have no hesitation or thought about the afterlife, or is there life after death, or is there something else after we die? That's not I don't have any doubt or hesitation. My demonstration in my life of karma in relationship is not so as of yet completely. Is soulmate like. The person I'm one with right now, do I have repetitive soulmates? How does that work?
Well, it's interesting because a little clarification. The question I would ask is, do people believe that there is one person that is the mate? And people tend to believe that, and yet in doing this work for over 30 years, and looking at thousands of relationships through, the spiritual realm of looking at relationships, what I find is that often it's not one. It's a series, and that relationship, so the thing that we think of as the soulmate or the karmic relationship, karma in my view meaning lessons, yes, we certainly do have these, and when we encounter someone, the other half of that relationship, we are very drawn to these people. Sometimes it's like the doggy magnets, where we're drawn and repelled to the same person. But it does feel as though it's something outside or beyond ourselves that is driving this connection. We have that thought, and when we don't feel it, there feels like there's a flatness or something is not right. Sometimes we feel it coming into a relationship and spend many years with a person and then wonder if, is it time to leave? Are we finished? How could we be finished a karmic relationship or a soulmate relationship? Am I asking more questions than I'm answering?
No, they're all good. Well, I'm trying not to lay down on the couch and go into a session. well, I don't know. I guess I hadn't thought. I think when I hear people use the term soulmates, that I have, women friends who they get that dreamy, faraway look in their eye when they talk about their soulmate. Sure. And I think that we do have that thought that soulmate is, soulmate means forever. That's it. Oh, I found my soulmate. Okay, that's it.
Right. That's it. Now we get to what? Stop?
Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
Now we get to go on a cruise. I don't know.
Yes.
Where's
exactly.
the door prize?
Right. We have a we do have that fantasy. And I'm going to stop for a second and talk about how it is that I read relationships, just so that we have some sort of a, you know, who am I and why do I get to even talk about this? Well, I've been doing, I'm clairvoyant and clairaudient and working with the realms of intuition and hypnosis and, you know, all the different levels of the mind for many, many years. So I go into an altered state of consciousness when a client will ask me about another, a relationship of some sort. First I look at the client, then I look psychically, intuitively, at the person that they've asked me about, and I do that through a different type of a sound wave. I'm clairaudient, and so the sound of the person's name allows me to read them. It allows me to see many, many, many things about them, even though that person may not be in the room, and most often is not, or on the telephone. But that's a just the way that I read, and then I mock up a picture of that person along with my client. And what I look at then is there an agreement for a relationship? That's the first question. Because if there isn't an agreement for a relationship of some sort, then we may as well just go on to, jobs and exercise or something. But because it's a moot point. And that's the indication that, you know, if we have an agreement for a relationship, then we can go on to see what is the agreement. When is the timing for that? And what are the lessons that could be learned within this relationship? And I love to do those readings. There's so much juice in them because the person always, who I'm working with, always knows on some level that this information is accurate. They know in their heart of hearts that they have come together to be with this person or not, you know, or that they're finished the relationship that they have been in for 15 years, 20 years. You know, those are interesting questions that I get, you know. And, you know, sometimes we are finished. Sometimes we've done all the things that we could do within this relationship for our spiritual growth, and it's time to engage with another relationship and complete that one in an ethical way.
Have you ever... I hate to jump in, but I have to ask this.
Yes, no, no.
Right here, that have you ever seen someone come in and talk about a relationship that they've been in for a number of years, and you look at it and there's really nothing there?
It's gone. Yeah, it's over. It's absolutely.
So you see it. So you might see that they're entered there. Like, let's say, you know, my parents, just because that's who comes to mind, who were together
right.
for, you know, not quite 50 years. So if one of them had come to you, you might have looked at them and said, well, that was over, you know, 10 years ago or 5 years ago, or no, you're still deeply in love, or, you know, I'm not sure what to do.
I happen
yeah,
to
I
have
know.
Known your parents.
So, right.
So, and, you know, when we look at a relationship from the outside and say deeply in love, I don't, you know, we wouldn't have said that about your parents. You know, it
no,
looks
no,
like it was
I,
a lot of acrimony.
That's just a phrase that
but,
came to mind. I know as soon
okay.
as I said it, I thought, that's not the one we're talking about, right?
No, but it's all right because, do you see, that was a complex relationship. And
yeah.
because it was so complex and there was so much karma and they had the children and they had the friends and they had lessons, that relationship stayed viable even though from the outside it could have looked like a big mess. You see, for the
yeah.
people involved, that relationship stayed viable until they were complete their lives. You
right.
know, that is an unusual thing to even see, but not, you know, I mean, we sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't. But what you're asking is if someone comes and says to me, gives me the name of a person and says,
right.
you know, we're having problems, what's going on? And I this has happened more than once, I hate to say. The relationship is completely over. There is a shadow that there was a relationship, but perhaps it's been over for a long time. Or perhaps they think it's over, and it's absolutely not. You know, they still have much more to learn within this relationship. So, and when we speak about that, there's always a release because, as I say, in our heart of hearts, we know what is going on. We know some of these relationships are temporary, even when we first come into them, and we wish they were, we wish they had more significance, but they have a short period of time coded into them to learn sometimes very significant lessons, but within a short period of time. So if we have that information or that clarified, it allows us to engage in a relationship essentially to the fullest extent of our potential without the lust that there lust on all levels that there may be off into the sunset in the future and we have to stay here for the next 50 years.
Right. So really the term soulmate needs to be expanded out in that soulmate can be transitory. It doesn't mean, is there, this is jumping to but yet another question. So is there something that's happened either astronomically or just in the world in that in my parents' generation or in other generations, previous generations, people were together for really long periods of time, frequently. Whereas now there seems to be a lot of jumping around.
Yes, and we can look at that in the form, a really good friend of mine who actually has left the planet, but he didn't leave before writing a book called Generational Astrology, Edwin Rose, a good book, because what it talks about is the planets, the outer planets moving slowly through signs, indicate how people born under that during that particular time view the world in many ways. So it's not unusual that our parents' generation or the one prior or the one coming through us in these future generations views the world in a different way. Everyone born in that generation has a similar worldview. Individually, we have our own separate charts in our lives and our worldviews, but everyone in a generation views these things in a similar way. So our parents born within a generation that the generation that came in with the First World War and the Depression and the Second World War, it was essential from a worldview that these people stayed within relationship and made foundations that were financial foundations for the family and for their extended family to be able to survive on the planet. We now don't have that same worldview. The younger people coming in don't have that. The people graduating, my grandson graduating from high school this week, graduating, we're asking, what are you going to do? Asking all the young people. They have no clue. Most of them do not know what they're going to do, but they know it's going to turn out. The older generation, the grandparents, worry. How? Oh, my goodness. You see, but they have come in under another time framework. And for them, will it turn out? Probably. Without the angst that the generations prior to that had about making a dollar. You see, some way it's going to turn out for them.
One way or the other, they have that inner knowing that it will turn out.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And so they don't have, and of course it has turned out for them. You see, in this time period, they are taken care of. There is food on the table. They don't have to worry. There aren't stamps and things that the prior generations went through. And those of us who are now in our, we hate to say, I'm the late 60s, almost 70. And of course my parents and grandparents kept larders full of food and cans for the possibility that there might not be food. You see, they did that.
Oh, yeah. I had my parents, when my parents died, there was still food, canned food in the basement.
Yes.
You know, just
yes.
in case. You know,
yes.
cases of tuna,
yes.
cases of grains, cases, yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, right. And elastic bands. When my grandmother died, jars of elastic bands, jars of small items for use. All right.
Mm-hmm.
The younger generation would think that was completely, you know, crazy.
Yeah.
Say, what do you even use rubber bands for? I don't even know.
So there's so
okay.
much, too. There's so much. I mean, the picture, and this is what I love about your work, is that the picture, it's like a three-dimensional Star Trek game, checkers game.
Yes.
In that it's so, you know, we have the astronomical influences going on. We have the karmic influences going on. We have the what I refer to as the lizard mind.
Yes,
the wow, she smells good. Boom, you know, pheromone
mm-hmm.
things happening, hormones
mm-hmm.
hitting the brain pan.
Right.
And can we jump the can we jump the shark on any of these? Or we're really just under the influence of it, and we should just settle in and go. It's, you know, no matter, even if you. I know people, this has never been my thing, you know, pick up somebody in the bar. There's still some sort of like mini little karmic lesson to be learned there. Is that,
absolutely.
Am I making an accurate observation? Okay.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And during the time period where there, that was a popularity, do you see now there's a different popularity.
Yeah.
It was very interesting watching 17, 18-year-olds last night. It was a lovely party at my son's home with a pool and hot tubs and food, and the kids and the older people were all invited. And so there was 50-75 people there. And the young people were in the pool, but they weren't, there was no pairing off. These are all, some of them were in relationship with somebody there and some were not. But it was very different than it would have been in my generation had there been a party like that when I was graduating from high school. Very different. You
mm-hmm.
see, there would have been pairing off. There would have been couples all over the place. There would have been that type of thing. Now, there isn't that. You know, it's not that they don't get together, but there's even different words for it, hooking up, you know, different words. But do they all recognize each other on a basic level of, is this person attractive to me? Am I to them? Absolutely. We need that to perpetuate our species. You see, we absolutely have to, what you call the reptilian mind, we absolutely have to have the hormonal level in order to be able to survive. Thank goodness. And if we are not attracted to the other, we don't have a ball game. It is the most important thing. Absolutely.
I'm laughing. We don't have a ballgame. That's very good. That's very cute. So it really does come, I mean, at some point it does come down. There is a part of us still functioning in that Clan of the Cave Bear, Daryl Hannah moment.
Absolutely.
Where, you know, that's really there is still that part of the limbic mind in there operating about, we need to keep perpetuating the planet.
Well, thank goodness.
Yeah.
You see, thank goodness we still have it, that we haven't been exposed to that many xenoestrogens, that we've lost our ability, and although I worry about that, but that we've lost our ability to be attracted and to connect. And
mm-hmm.
it's interesting that it continues even after we are not able to procreate, you see, or that it would be inappropriate as we age to do that. However, we still have that code that lets us know, you know, who would be a good partner for us.
Mm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, biologically.
That is true. You do see, you know, yeah, I mean, you do see, we know people who are still chasing each other around, even though, as you say, they're not in the procreation, but there's still that part of the lizard mind.
Absolutely.
Or the, you call it the reptilian mind, who's still going, no, we need to procreate. We need to keep the planet going.
Right.
Yeah.
And we are, but the thing I'm postulating is that that's the most important thing to pay attention to when you are going into a relationship, when you are trying to start a relationship. If that isn't there, why would you bother? And
are you talking
that,
to me?
No.
Wait, we're doing a radio show. Are you talking to me? Yeah.
Why would anyone bother? See, we feel guilty about that. We feel like we should be operating on a much higher, more spiritual plane. Yes, I believe we need to be operating on a spiritual plane, but we are incarnated into physical bodies. And so in this incarnation, in this dimension, paying attention to the body will give us tremendous amount of information about our spiritual growth in life. The bodies tell us.
Yeah.
You know, if we can get in tune with them enough to pay attention, what to eat, who to be attracted to, what to do, how to take care of ourselves, how to take care of the planet, you know. I mean, if we're allergic to something, pay attention.
Right.
You know,
but the attraction the attraction factor is really this huge picture, even though it manifests itself. This is actually a question, even though I'm framing it more like a statement. Is really this big picture of combination of karma, astrological alignments, karmic patterns, karmic desires, and all of that. And is the trigger the lizard mind or the pheromones? Is that kind of the trigger? Or can it be the opposite way? In other words, can I be attracted to someone who karmically is not appropriate? Is that something I can, back to jumping the shark, can I do that?
Of course.
Okay, all right.
You see, can you be attracted? I'm saying that's the first thing. If you're not attracted to someone, then we don't proceed. Can you be attracted to someone who is absolutely not good for you? Well,
boy, howdy.
I see everyone out here listening to this show shaking their head. Well, of course.
Shaking their head going, oh, how many times? You know, rinse and repeat.
Right. But it's the start.
That is the kicker. Okay, so that is actually
exactly
the kicker. And then I have another question about that, but we're going to take a brief break, and I have a question following up to the what I like to call the bad boy syndrome. We'll be right back.
Have you had enough? Our civil and health rights are being ignored at every turn. More than ever, alternative health care services are needed. Please accept our invitation to be a part of the renovation of healthcare in America. Guardian Party members receive free software, free online classes, free monthly newsletter, free forum access. For more about health for the people, by the people, visit us at www.guardiansofthepeople.com.
Guardians of the People, I'm a big fan. .com. So, back to the bad boys. What is up with that? I see it more in women friends of mine who all complain about, you know, what I call the bad boy syndrome. And yet, it's like a bad drug. You know, he doesn't call me, he doesn't whatever, blah, 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 comes over, does this, does that, leaves, and they complain about it, but they keep going back for more. Is that just that, is it just a hormone thing? Is it reach and withdraw? You know, is it a combination of karma? I mean, it seems like, this is where it seems like it gets very tricky with the pheromones and the, you know, urge to breed. The lizard mind, because they keep going back with some delusion that they're going to change him into, I don't know what. And then I've known women who have actually changed him into like a semi-domesticated house dog instead of just a dog who's out dogging around, hooking up. And they change him, and it just never works. You know, what is that about the bad boy syndrome? Is that just a, you know,
okay, there's many levels to this question that you're asking, and we can kind of see your philosophy about it just by the way you asked the question.
I'm trying not to be transparent, but there it is.
Well, right. You're saying the bad boy syndrome, but what that looks like to the the female of the species is someone who is powerful, can take care of themselves, and hopefully would be able to take care of the female too. Do you see, there is that basis. If they can take care of themselves, if they're independent, if they're out and back, that they translate into, oh, that might be a good person for me too. Also, they're very attractive because they have that. There's a lot of male energy going around with that. The bad boy has a lot of male energy. Mm-hmm. So females are attracted to that male energy. Now, is that great? Yes, at least you know you have an attraction. And the thing is that if the male is also attracted to you on a continual basis, you might have a very good relationship with someone for many, many years who has that, you know, kind of bad boy energy. You see, if they've chosen to be with you on a continual basis, but they need to keep choosing. You see,
right.
Can you hold their attention?
Because they're not really changing who they are. They're still a bad boy.
No,
but
why would they?
Found somebody they can bond with, which might be part of that. Could part of that be the karmic
that they found
package
interesting?
Right.
Well, wait a minute. That they found interesting. That they were attracted to. Okay, great. And that they continued to find interesting.
Yeah.
Why would they stay if they didn't? You see, I think what happens sometimes with women of the species is they think, well, once I've attracted this person and I'm a soulmate and I'm supposed to be in relationship with them, that they won't stray and that I don't have to do anything to continue to be attractive and to attract.
Right. Right.
But you do.
It's an ongoing job.
It's an ongoing job, of course. Why would someone... You see, why would a man like that want to be with someone who didn't continually keep his interest?
Mm-hmm.
So, and some of us, you see, would be attracted to someone else, males who are more domesticated. Okay, great. Because a female may feel like, well, okay, he can take care of those kinds of domestic things, and I would like to go out and be more of the Amazon warrior woman. You know, my hormones are balanced a little bit more in that way.
Right.
You see, the trick of this whole thing is understanding yourself and your own motivation, because you can't even become into a relationship with someone else, really, unless you know who you are. Who is the person coming into the relationship? So if you know certain things are bottom line for you, and to tell the truth about yourself, very important to tell the truth. It's hard. You think, oh, we think we know. This is how I am. The truth. When we keep going deeper and deeper, that's why it takes a whole lifetime to study ourselves. You know, and then what? We try to get into a relationship? Oh, my goodness. That's complex.
It's always it leaves me slightly in stunned silence when I look at the big picture and I think, boy, it's just an amazing thing that, you know, I guess that is really, in a certain way, the function of, back to my favorite, the lizard mind, or that survival thing, is that's really kind of the driving force, because otherwise, who would ever want to do this? I mean, it's tremendous. I mean, it's hugely rewarding when it works. And on the other hand, it can be just this amazing, arduous task to keep it going, to keep
And we all have this soulmate vision. Hold your hand up. We think there's one person for us. And so what we do is we put all our needs and desires onto that one person. And perhaps, you know, they don't like doing all the same things we like doing. Boy, that's a trick to get into a relationship with someone who likes doing all the same things you like doing. Or that you like to do all the same things they like to do. You want to watch the same shows. You want to go the same places. You want to eat the same food. Oh, my goodness. So you want a clone of yourself. Well, of course, we do. We want a clone of ourselves.
Yeah. We find ourselves entertaining.
How much fun is that? Right.
Yeah.
But it's easier if you know who you are and then can get pieces from your life in other within other realms that you don't put all of the focus on your poor partner.
Well, it's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure for both people. And to learn to state who you are without the detriment to the other person, just can you imagine what amazing growth that would provide in a relationship? That's what we're talking about with karmic growth. This is who I am. I'm different than you. I let you do what you need to do as long as it doesn't hurt or impinge on my life, and I do the same for you. Wow. Now, there we have a spiritual karmic relationship at a very high level. And lots of physical connection because we're attracted to each other, right?
At least in theory.
Well, you wouldn't start it unless you were.
You wouldn't start. You wouldn't get from the get-go.
Well, I'm suggesting
that...
not to. People try to put themselves into a box and say, I should be attracted to this person. They have all the things that I say that I want.
Right. I think that's a really good catchphrase. That's a really important phrase that you just said there about the things that I say that I want.
Right, right.
Because I think you have to be really clear about that list of things that I want. Because is it really your list? Is it, you know, a parental upbringing list? Is it your friend's list? Is it your, whose list
right.
is that?
Society,
that's a huge, that's a,
oh my goodness.
Oh my
the
goodness.
The old big S word.
Yeah, you
know,
yeah.
Putting all of this. You know, some people don't want to be in just one relationship. They would prefer being multiple relationships, but oh my goodness, that is not an easy
That's always
thing.
Been amazing to me because I can evidently barely manage a single relationship. The idea of managing multiple ones is just stunning to me. The idea of,
right.
you know,
right.
like the Mormons. I mean, I don't know why I picked it. Well, we know why I picked on them. You know, I mean, really? Multiple wives? You think that's a good idea? Really? Wow. You know, it's just, I can't imagine it. Because it's so much to just, you know, try and manage or be in relationship, actually just be in relationship with a single person is, you know, when it works, can be an amazing, you know, I'll call it a work of art.
Right.
But it's ever changing. You know, what it looks
yeah.
like in the morning might not be what it looks like in the afternoon. It's really,
right.
it makes me think that as we talk about it, and it leads me sort of several questions, is it really seems like we need to be teaching communication in schools. You know, actual miscommunication. How to actually say, you know, honey, I love you, but I don't really like that. Or, you know, I don't
right.
know what that is. But, you know, some way of actually having a conversation that doesn't cause somebody to trigger or have
right.
to react, or, you know, where
right.
we have a neutral zone, the cone of silence, I don't care what we call it. You know,
right.
some
right.
safety zone where we can actually evolve in the relationship, because I can observe in my own life that in some of my earlier relationships, communications was, and I've said this to other people, and people always laugh because I'm such a talker that they're stunned to find that perhaps in a relationship I'm not the best communicator.
Really?
How is that possible? You can't shut up.
Well, we move into what we perceive as the desire of the other, of the lover. And so we want to be for them. And that is wonderful. And we do need to be for them. We do need to have this love that we care about the other. But the trick is that it has to emanate from the self, from the person. And so we try to do everything for another without starting from the self. If each person started from the self and said, this is who I am and what I really want and need, and I also choose to be with you, do you see how it would be a much clearer communication. It's interesting. I've married a lot of people. One of my other hats is I formed a church many, many years ago. I actually formed it so that my son wouldn't have to go to war if he didn't want to. Of course, that didn't happen during the time, but I've kept the church, and some of the things that I do through it are I marry people, and I also perform wonderful funerals, which I think is a great transition period, and baptisms, various things. I do counseling with the clients that I am going to marry, because I feel it's important to ask certain questions that don't come up in traditional counseling. And one of the things that I always ask to a young couple coming together to get married is, if you couldn't have children, if you can't have children, would you be willing to adopt? Now, I think that's a very rational question. You know, each person, they always think, oh, they're going to be able to have children. You would be surprised how many people are in conflict with that answer. You know, they think they're going to spend the rest of their lives together. They're getting married. They want to have children. They're in conflict about, so you can't have children. Would you adopt? One would say yes. One would say no. Do you think those relationships can really have the longevity, even if the issue doesn't come up? I doubt it.
It seems like a very tough, I mean, I've known couples who have broken up over that very issue.
Right. It's
so
a big deal.
It's a tough one. You know,
right.
If either partner has that incredible drive to procreate and the other does not, wow.
Right. And to procreate necessarily through their own body or not through their own body, do they have,
right.
do they have, and from a spiritual level, do they have an agreement to have children, to raise children? That's one of the things I look psychically to see. Is there an agreement for children? Some people have it, some people don't. You come together in relationship, it's perfectly all right. If one person has an agreement and one person doesn't, it's all right. It becomes confusing if the person who has the agreement is the male and the person who does not have the agreement is the female, because we assume that the male, you see, will not be able to carry this child. And, you know, I have a couple that I've been working with for 30 years, and that was a question a long time ago. You know, he kept saying, you know, why doesn't she want to have children? She had no agreement for children. She was not opposed to adopting if he wanted to adopt a child. See, he wouldn't adopt. She didn't even have an agreement for a child. She was perfectly willing to have the child within the environment and to be a parent, but she was not driven at all to have it come through her body. She didn't even have an agreement.
Right. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And it's interesting, too, to see that because, you know, when we assume, we have this assumption that people will get married and have children. We assume many, many, many things that are not particularly accurate. And some are.
Well, we assume, you know, in the previous generation, we assumed that the classic, it was the father knows best. You know, dad goes out and has a job. Mom's at home wearing a cute little apron and a skirt and high heels. At home? Really? High heels. And, you know, and there's 2.3 children and half a dog. Or, you know, I forget what the actual stats are, but I mean, and now that's really quite different, and I that leads me to a part that I wanted to talk to you about, is that roles are pretty scrumbled. In the sense of, you know, is it the woman making the money? Is it the man making the money? Who's making the money? What's the deal? Whether we're having kids or not, okay, we've talked about that. But now we're talking about there seems to be confusion in roles, and part of that confusion came when the feminist movement got so big. And I want to clarify right up front, I'm not opposed to, I like women, you know, and I you know, yes, absolutely.
We know.
But there's this confusion now in roles when people get together. I've seen this in my relationships, and I've also seen this in other people's relationships, where it gets confusing because there's this still the lizard mind, want to procreate, want to keep the planet going. Okay, there's that drive. And then there's the drive for the man to be, you know, possibly the breadwinner, or, you know, how is that just a, is that part of this new now generation or the generation we came up in, where it started to get?
It is part of the generation that we came
scrimbly.
Up in.
Yeah.
When we, the Neptune, the planet of illusion, confusion, delusion, went into Libra, the planet that has to do with law, but it also has to do with relationships. And so we, the people born in that generation, had a lovely, wonderful, romantic fantasy about how we would be in relationship. And they tried many things coming into that, and that started in about 1943, and Neptune goes, has a long transit through signs, so it went all the way into the early 50s, you see. So there's a whole generation of people with, kind of trying to do something a new way, perhaps not even knowing what they were doing, and then wanting to make something work that was fair and equal. Libra is the sign of equality and fairness. Neptune going into that saying, spiritually, we want fairness. So we were attempting, those of us born during that time, were attempting to create that. You see, we were attempting to create it. Our children and grandchildren are the products of that attempt, which did not really work out that well. Do you see? We had women wanting to be equal, but not receiving equal pay. They wanted men to work, yes, to take care of them, of course, and to also clean the house. Do you see how difficult that was for many men during this period of time where it seemed logical, but it was illogical? No one really could articulate this. People had these desires and thoughts and feelings coming from what they had incarnated with and the time that they had come onto the planet, and yet it hadn't been established yet. It hadn't come down into a grounding establishment. I mean, we're just in a wonderful, I'm going back to, I love school and I have many degrees, and I'm going back now to study jewelry design. I've been studying it for a while, and now I'm in a class that I had to register into the real, you know, university, and to, you know, the class. And I was reading the catalog. How lovely! It's so fair. You cannot discriminate against anyone. And I loved it because you can't discriminate against an old person or any color or male or a female. I figured, boy, somebody's definitely going to have to hire me. You know, I'm an old female, can't really get around that well. You know, I've got some learning disabilities. Oh, my God, I'd be the top person they'd have to hire.
Absolutely.
It's a new world. It's a new world. Is that wise that they would have to hire this old crippled female? I don't think so. But guess
might
what?
Might not be the best choice.
Well, we'll maybe attempt and see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we've gone a little bit, the pendulum has gone too far the other way, and you can ask any female who's having to do it all or any male who doesn't know what they're doing, you see, that they will tell you, yes, I'm completely confused. You know, I work all day, and she expects me to change the diapers and take care of, you know, the children, clean
right.
the house.
And also, I think, and it seems like also part of it is that we have so many double working couples. You know, both couples work. So that adds
right.
a level of confusion, that both couples work because the world in which, you know, Betty was at home making brownies and cakes and managing the housekeeper, usually it seemed like, but that was a different show, I think. And then the husband came home. Now we have both couples are working, so it gets even more confused because then when we get home, the man is still supposed to be the man and the wife is still both supposed to be the wife, but she's going, but wait a minute, I just worked an eight-hour day as well. What the hell do you think you're thinking? Why are you sitting down on the couch?
And we have an aversion to servants.
Yeah.
You would not. You would be very surprised at many of my clients. Just I'm trying to get the relationship to work, and I suggest we have to have a housekeeper. We have to have a gardener. I'm sorry, who do you expect to do this?
Yeah.
You see, who do you expect to keep these things going? You know, we have to have child care. You know, they have an aversion to it. They think they should be able to do it. Oh, we can't afford that. Oh, my goodness. Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, it has to be the first thing on the list. Handling the details and handling the groundwork is very important. You can see how relationships can get very confused if we don't know the role, if we won't ask that we really do need to have a housekeeper and a gardener, and somebody to do the shopping. You know, someone has to do those things. And do we expect the people that are working full-time to do it? I hope not.
Yeah.
You see, it's a different world.
It's a different world. And I also see it from I see issues that occur in relationships because, okay, so we set aside that. Let's say that we have the housekeeper and we have the, you know, shopper and the gardener. That's all handled.
Right.
So at least some of the work is taken care of.
Right.
And yet you come home and there's this confusion because the roles that are both people are now playing, women are becoming more masculinized in the business world,
right?
And men are just confused. They're not becoming more feminized in the work world, so we can't say that. But they're, you know, it used to be the guy went out. I'm going to go back to lizard mind. The guy used to, you know, the deal used to be go out of the cave, kill something, drag it back, don't get killed doing it. So I think we still have that, you know, and protect your family, protect your loved ones or your Daryl Hannah, you know, protect.
Right, right.
And so now everything's confused because everybody, both people in a relationship are going out and, you know, killing something and dragging it back every day. And yet there's confusion because who's the, you know, it used to be sort of the male was the, you know, guy, he was the bigger, stronger. That used to be the qualifier, who was biggest and strongest, was the leader.
He's still the bigger, stronger. He is still the bigger, stronger. You know, just ask a woman who's trying to get a piece of furniture moved.
See, it comes down to that.
He's still
we're
bigger,
just
stronger.
Kept around because we move furniture. Okay, all right. Yeah, it's true.
That isn't why we keep you around. Other attributes
yeah.
we love. Yeah. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, we need that. We need that. And there's certain skills that, you know, that men tend to be better at, you know, certain things that they tend to be better at.
And do you think it naturally, do you think in the like your grandkids and things that their relationships will be I know better is not the word, more balanced because they've already grown up in a culture where men and women are already equal to begin with, so there'll be less contention later on or less.
Oh, they'll have their own problems. You see,
well, they'll have their own issues.
Born,
that's true. Yeah.
Within this particular time period of the problems that exist today, do you see, and there is a tremendous confusion because we, especially in the United States, but many other countries, believe that everything is equal. We believe that everyone will have a job. Everyone deserves to have a job and money and food on the table. We have that as a view, as a you know, world view. And so, great. You know, how are they going to attain that? You see, that's you know, if that's an expectation for them. You know, how are they going to attain it? They don't have as much difficulty if they want to do the cooking that they're going to be allowed to do the cooking. They're not going to have to wait until they retire, the men, in order to be able to get into the kitchen. You know they can do that now. If they feel like sewing up their own clothes, they can do that, and nobody's going to say anything to them about it. You know, and if women want to go out and become car mechanics, they can. You see, if that's what they're drawn to, that's all right. But the basic males procreate with women, women carry the children to perpetuate this race, hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. It can't. The system has to come from that basic, what you're calling reptilian, I'm calling hormonal. Or if we look at the birds and the bees and how, and I love to watch the the mating rituals out my window of all these birds, and you know, many of them mate for life. You know, and they, you know, they procreate. They work in unison to make sure that they have, you know, the nest is protected. You know, the both male and female of the species work together to procreate. You know, we're not very good at that, but we're learning.
we're learning.
We're
still ever evolving.
Right.
Ever evolving.
Exactly. So the conversation for young people would be, you know, the conversation is, you know, who are we and what do we want? And it then comes, you know, we learn from our young people. You know, we teach and we learn. You know, it's a cycle that goes back and forth. You know, we learn from the future, we learn from the past. How lovely. It's a wonderful time to be on the planet. Just a really amazing time to be on the planet. Complex, confusing, but wonderful.
It's really, it's amazing, you know, even though we're coming, you know, close to a full hour, it really amazes me still that as complex as it is, as I, you know, zoom out, look at the giant picture of how we attempt to relate, it's amazing to me in a certain way that we ever manage to get together and stay together or, you know, even, you know, hook up or anything, because it's really this really amazing dance of the cosmos, the hormones, you know, the whole thing. I mean, it is shaken, not stirred. I mean, it's really this amazing thing that occurs.
Right,
that we ever
right.
get together to begin with. I mean, besides the, you know, okay, we need to procreate part. That's pretty easy.
Right.
Not to be underrated, but, you know, it's pretty easy. But the rest of it really is, it's an astonishing thing that we can do this.
And you see, I think the human body, we're at the tip of what we're learning about the brain and hormones and what we produce within our bodies at periods of our lives. We barely know anything about that. It's just so interesting and so complex to see that we could even function, you know, that we can walk and think and, you know, and eat and process food and, you know, and bear children. Oh my goodness, that's a miracle.
It is true. I mean, I know we both have a passion toward, you know, learning about all that area.
Mm-hmm.
And that it is really true. I mean, the whole arena of hormones, just hormones alone, you know, these little things in the body that squirt out stuff and then run all over the place and, you know, instant communication within the body. I mean, that's an amazing thing. That's an amazing system that we really know so little about.
Right.
And,
right.
I mean, it's really stunning that we just get up in the morning and put one foot in front of the other and get up and move while this is all happening. And on top of that, we have this cosmology and this huge amount of stuff going on in the three-dimensional chess game that is, you know, the Star Trek life. It's stunning that we actually manage to bump into somebody else, go, hey, so what are you doing? And then, you know, work out that dance.
And
it's
come
stunning.
Together. Exactly.
It's stunning.
My spirit guides say, you have no idea how difficult that is for us on the other side to get you in the right place at the right time to meet the right person. You see, there is the spiritual realm of that.
Right. Right. This huge chess game they're trying to manage. Wait a minute. No, you're supposed to move to the left. Oh, you missed. Oh, we'll have to figure that out. Okay, so
right.
I should have you tell people how to get a hold of you. Where do they find you? How do they, you know, dive further into this game with you?
Oh, it's easy. Now we have the web. They can just do www.drsusanstewart. That's D-R, Susan, and S-T-U-A-R-T. That's the Mary Queen of Scots spelling. You can just call me
good
on the phone.
Mary.
I'm in the 415-454-3477.
Isn't that amazing? We've come so far in the, you know, let's just say 30 years we've known each other, that now, instead of really the phone number, it really is the website. I mean, that in
it
itself...
It really is the website.
It really is the website.
Right, right.
It really is.
Sometimes
shocking.
It's nice, though, to hear a voice. Sometimes it's...
Oh, no, I like hearing the, you know, me. I'm,
right,
you know, I
right.
like the voice part. But it is really stunning. Well, this went faster than I thought it might. And it was definitely fun. Always, yeah, right. Oh, it's an hour?
Oh,
well,
when you're having fun. Exactly. Don't worry about the stress, all right?
Right, yeah.
Spiritual
don't worry
stress
about that
is a good
all.
Time. All right? If we have stress, we're learning lessons.
Well, stress is, you know, just cellular tension, and, you know, cellular tension is how it all, you know, works. It's amazing. We're amazing, you know, creatures on the planet. And thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week. And thank you, Susan Stewart.
Thank you, Richard. This has been delightful.
We'll talk soon. Thank you. We'll have to have you back. There's more to talk about.
Yes.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.